Marta Obregón was born in La Coruna on March 1, 1969, the second of four sisters in a Christian family. Due to the work of her father, the family lived in Barcelona for a year, and in December of 1970, she settled permanently in Burgos. Marta, a spontaneous girl, open-minded and good-looking, studied successfully at the Colegio de Jesús María. In her childhood, she attended with her sister the club Alanza in Burgos, of the Opus Dei Prelature. Now, just one explanatory note, when they say club, they refer to a study and prayer center. Marta went to study and pray every day from 4 in the afternoon to 9:30 in the night. In Spain, the Opus Dei centers are familiarly called the Opus Dei Club, where a priest of Opus Dei leads the spiritual direction. Now, according to her mother, Marta was spontaneous, very affectionate, and attentive. Her closest friend affirms that she was very noble, full of illusions, and willing to help and encourage others. At the age of 17, both left Club Alanza. In her youthful thoughts, she believed that a center of work guided her in a very preventive attitude, and she wanted to learn about life on her own, and this is where she began to decline in religious practices. In 1988, she began a first relationship with a boy with whom she experienced weakness in the face of passion. Marta began her university studies in Madrid, hoping to become a famous journalist. She later changed her aspirations and she openly confessed that she only thought of God and pleasing Him. During the summer holidays of 1990, she took part in a trip to Thais, organized by the Neo-Catechumenal group. A prodigious conversion of Marta took place in Thais, and on her return, she decided to go to confession because she still felt dirty from what had happened more than 2 years before. When you discover something important in your life and you realize fundamental things, which until then went unnoticed by your side, you are really well in peace. Now, for unknown reasons, however, the confessor did not absolve her, which caused a great suffering and a struggle between her willingness to give herself to God and a feeling of abandonment on his part. Shortly after, while playing ping pong at the house of some friends, she told them about her situation, bursting into tears, because she thought that God had abandoned her. One of those companions told her, "God loves you, no matter what you have done." Shortly after, she met with a priest of the Neo-Catechumenal Way, who listened to her and allowed her to experience God's forgiveness and mercy. From that moment, she began to defend Christian values with courage, in private and in public, with friends at the university and in the media. She met another young Catholic with whom she had a good relationship and with whom she wanted to be an itinerant missionary, but shortly afterwards, she broke off the relationship without giving her explanations. Now, in her last year of life, she went every afternoon to study at the Opus Dei Center, which she had abandoned for a few years. She always ended the day with half an hour of prayer on her knees in front of the tabernacle. Her confidant once tried to get her excited about professional projects, but when she came back, that no longer interested her. It was clear that God had taken everything away from her, studies, boyfriend, projects. You see, her way of being was that of a woman who had found God, but continued to search for Him more and more intimately. In recent months, she continued to go to the Neo-Catechumenal Way, to which she felt very close and where she felt projected to help the world. She was a woman with a deep inner life, which was palpable in her attitude, at the same time who sought God very strongly and gave herself to others. Now, on the day of her sacrifice, she asked that they leave the books on the study table with the intention of returning the next morning to attend Mass, receive communion, and continue preparing for the February exams. She never came back. At around 10 p.m, the neighbor on the second floor heard a piercing scream. It took 5 days to find Marta's body, about 5 kilometers from the city. According to the forensic report, she died in the early hours of January the 22nd, 1992. She had various abrasions and bruises, strong pressure with hands on her neck, and, above all, 14 stab wounds, one of which penetrated her heart. She was only 22 years of age. The report and the sentence repeat that this happened for trying to evade the aggression. Now, the facts suggest that the young fifth-year journalism student left a beautiful example, both in her life grateful to God's love and mercy, and in the testimony of her courageous death for defending virtue. There are many people who rely on her, asking for favors of all kinds. Among the testimonies collected on the web of the cause, her friend Rosie writes, "Your martyrdom is not something in vain, but it is a cry of God to the world that no longer values the greatness of holy purity." Servant of God, Marta Obregón, pray for us.